Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Welcome, welcome. The auspices of the Development Institute, Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Knox. And I believe Brother Dave, Southern Love, Mr. Lutus. He said, the storage love. He mentioned love. The Eve's love. He mentioned the Faluti love. But I'm going to talk about how sweet is Jesus. How sweet is Jesus?
And no other name but Jesus. For there, amen, is no other person name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Heavenly Father, I praise and give you the praise that in your grace and mercy that you have brought to us to this precious understanding. Amen. Amen. Precious understanding that Jesus alone is the only way to heaven and that no one but Jesus is able to open the doors into your holy presence. Amen. Amen. God is just so good. Coming out of John 14 and 6, it says, Jesus answered and says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is telling his disciple, you've seen the Father by looking at me. I want to open up with a question to my listening audience is, how sweet is Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? And what are you going to do with Jesus of Nazareth? You know, it's funny how the world and people and fear the name Jesus, love the name Jesus, and either they hate the name of Jesus. And I will give you some examples of what I'm talking about. How Jesus, the name Jesus, just caused the bones and the souls and the minds of some just to tremble because their deeds and their motives is not like God. Their deeds and their motives is for their own worldly good. And not for the good of God. In July of 27, 42-year-old, we're talking about in China, this 42-year-old Chinese Christian, she was a Christian, her name was Li Ming, and she was having church in a house underground. And when the leaders found out what she was doing, Li Ming was arrested. And she was charged with singing Christian hymns to the villagers and showing Jesus film in a nursing home and praying for the healing of a disabled elderly man. They were sentenced to re-education through labor for 12 to 18 months. Li Ming was served with a special sentence. She was sentenced to a hospital with her hand chained to the bed, where she was repeatedly beaten and tortured so violently, in fact, that it caused her to require a hysterectomy. She is currently serving the remainder of her sentence as a prisoner of the state of China, accused of being a Christian. How sweet is Jesus? Because his name was mentioned, because she professed to know the word, she's being punished. How the government of that country fear the name Jesus, fear Christianity. Now, why was she arrested? Like hundreds of thousands of others around the globe, we all know Jesus to be their Savior and Lord. A lot of people fear Jesus. A lot of government fears Jesus because they want to be idolized. They want to be glorified. How sweet is Jesus? And why was she treated? And why was she focused on with hatred? Because Jesus confronted every person in every culture, in every nation, with the unflinching command to obey the gospel by repenting of sin and trusting fully in him as the one and only means of being right with God. And what did they do with Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? They attack him by brutalizing his followers like Lemmy. They recognize that Jesus is a threat to everything they believe and have built. So Jesus' name is above all name. However, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. How sweet is Jesus. So no matter how much they try to suppress, oppress, repress people from knowing our Lord Jesus Savior, it's still going to thrive. Thrive through the underground. They're going to continue to thrive through the minds and hearts of so many. They might not be able to profess it openly, to proclaim it openly, but Jesus is there, and he's not going anywhere. And on April 16th, in 2007, Suu Kyi killed 32 people and wounded many more before taking his own life in an horrific rampage on the campus of Virginia Tech. Now, we all were glued to the image carried on every news agency, by every news station, shocked by the mingle, with deep grief struck by the nation. But there was yet another stunning and cunning by the people that wanted to hold a memorial service for the 32 that died on campus. So the official planned a memorial service that would be televised live across the nation. They determined that it should be an interfaith service. As the cameras roll, we hear and we heard a Buddhist quote the Dalai Lama and refer to the basic goodness of man. There was also a Jewish woman who read from Ecclesiastes. Amen. A Muslim quoted from the Quran to Allah, and a liberal Lutheran pastor gave a brief, empty pep talk about sticking together and helping one another. Isn't it ironic that no one mentioned Jesus? No one mentioned Jesus Christ in the entire memorial service. I mean, what did they do with Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? They omitted any reference of him. And there's a reason for that. Christ claims about himself, what is proclaimed about him in the Bible are so specific and exclusive that he is offensive to all the pluralistic. And we know that all roads lead to heaven. Almost everything is tolerated in the public arena but Jesus. We can put up with every shenanigan, every ridiculous statement, every lies, but we will omit Jesus from our statement. And there's one more. On Thursday, on March 22nd, on 2008, a Burlington Township High School in Burlington, New Jersey, conducted a mock terrorist drill to train the student body in evacuation practices should some crazy person enter the premises waving a gun. The school superintendent, Chris Mono, stated that the goal was to practice under conditions that are as real as possible. Check this out. The story didn't end there. They made up they didn't involve a Gothic dress drug addict or an American-hating jihadist or some domestic terrorist crazy. Instead, the hostage-taking madman in this particular scenario was a make-believe drill where two Christians who were seeking justice because the daughter of one of them was expelled for praying in class. Amen. So why in the world will the a school official make Christians the villain? I mean, out of all the characters that is doing evil in the world, they have to depict Christians as the subject to do a mock scenario of a crazy waving a gun, shooting a gun. Because of this, you know, increasingly seeing the demand of Jesus in our world, we just know that the violent tendency of Islam, the violent tendency of jihadists, the violent tendency of all-around threat towards Christianity, persecution of Christianity. But yet this school has to depict Christian as being the villain. And this is what we're talking about. How sweet is Jesus? They're trying to omit Jesus from our thoughts, our practices, the way we live, the way we think. But depicting borderline lunatics, that's ridiculous. It's triggering an episode, but yet we can't say the name of Jesus in school. We can't pray for Jesus in school. We can't pray at all about our Lord and Jesus Savior. So I ask you again, to my listening audience, how sweet is Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Some of us are lost. More specifically, we are dead in our trespassing and sins, dominated by the devil, and some of us are destined for hell. How sweet is Jesus? You know, in all of our self-effort and religious rituals, we can do nothing to change the hearts and mind of so many. We need someone to rescue us, someone powerful enough to raise us from our spiritual death and make us alive to God, someone strong enough to overcome the rule of Satan in our lives, someone with the power of God himself to secure our destiny in heaven forever. How sweet is Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? Amen. Our God is an awesome God. This evening, I'm just presented that our Savior, whose disciples are persecuted and killed in this world. I'm talking about the disciples in China, the disciples in Russia, the disciples in most communist countries, and whose gospel is increasingly marginalized in our country. I will not give you a set of ideas to mull over and decide whether to accept or reject our Lord Jesus Savior. I will instead lay before you the one that God sent, whom the Bible constantly presents as our only hope of forgiveness of our sins, the reconciliation with God, and a new life that never ends. Consider now the straight and unvarnished statement of one of the eyewitnesses to Jesus in the Bible, and ask yourself, how sweet is Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? So I want you to go with me upstairs to this room where Jesus and the disciple are gathered to celebrate the Jewish holiday of Passover, while they are feasting and retelling the story of God deliverance from slavery in Egypt. Jesus explained that he is about to leave them, knowing that the cross is just hours away. He tells them in John 13, where I am going, you cannot go. This was very upsetting to his friends, like Peter, always the first to react, asking for more information. In verse 36, he asks, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter pressed the issue. In the next verse, Peter said, "Lord, why can't I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Oh, yeah, Peter trying to convince Jesus that he's the man. Peter and the disciple clearly didn't understand what was about to happen and why Jesus would no longer be with them. Jesus demonstrated his sovereign insight in Peter's heart when he quietly answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? I assure you, a rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." Boy, I can see the look on Peter's face. Now, if Peter mulled over Jesus' hard words to him, you know, Jesus, Peter felt insulted. Jesus addressed the whole group. In John chapter 14, with great tenderness, Jesus will utter some of the most startling and powerful words of his entire ministry. Can you feel how personal he gets when his followers in the opening verse heard Jesus said, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way where I am going." How sweet is Jesus? I mean, that is so beautiful. Just that statement, that sentence alone was just touching. Now, look at what happened here. Now, Jesus is just telling them about where he's going. He's going to heaven, to where the Father is. They will be separated for just a time. Not long, but just a while. But while they're apart, Jesus will be working on a place. Amen? A place there for them, which of course means that he will be coming for them one day. He will be coming for us one day. And then he added this sentence, "And you know the way where I am going. You already know the road that leads to heaven." Jesus, you know, I believe Jesus deliberately planted this to grab their curiosity, to plant their seed in their mind. And you know, we have Thomas, doubting Thomas. And Thomas refused to pretend he understands, so he continued to play dumb. He said he didn't care if he looked ignorant. Now, he just wanted to know. He said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Come on, he's been with Jesus all this time, and he's still playing the dumb role. And now we're ready for one of the most, you know, I think another statement by Jesus, and that another just striking and impressive statement that set him apart from everyone else. And this one alone, I mean, Jesus spoke. He spoke in a hushed tone in this smaller group in the upper room. And this is why it haunts me when I see what happened in China, because you see here this lady with a small group in a room underground professedly proclaiming the name Jesus and the gospel. In funeral homes, in funeral services around this country, they don't mention the name Jesus. They try to cover up. But in John 4:16, Jesus answered Thomas and all of us, and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Categorically tells me that no way is right. No one way, but one way is right. And that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Jesus is saying that there's only one way. Every other way is wrong. It's all or nothing, either or. It's in or out. It's hot or cold. Jesus is telling you the way to get to the Father. I want you to just think for a moment the full meaning of these words. Amen. The full meaning of this word. We're going to take a break for a second. I want to talk to all my listeners. Amen. We know that salvation is free, but ministry costs. And we're a blessing to be a blessing. Amen. And if you want to donate to this ministry, please go into KBDI by going to giveify.com. That's GIVELIFY.com. Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters. And download the app, either on your cell or on your email. Amen. Or you can go to Kingdom Builders International at Gmail and use the PayPal. Amen. Jesus is so awesome. Like I said, we're here to be a blessing to our listening audience. We're here to birth out what's inside of you. Amen. Yes. Amen. You know, Jesus gave those three powerful words. I mean, not three powerful words, he made three little statements. Where he said, I am the way and the life. That is so beautiful. How sweet is Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? Amen. Amen. And when he says, I am the way, he's talking about the way to heaven. It's not a religious system or a set of spiritual teaching to follow. The way cannot be found in you or in your sincere efforts. The way is Jesus. Jesus is saying the way is him. He's the way. Way cannot be found in man. Jesus is telling you he's the way. It cannot be found in money. It cannot be found in drugs or alcohol. Or Jesus is saying that I am the way. You know the way to where I am going, he said. And it's me. You had to go through me to get to the Father, get to heaven. And then the minute you reduce the path to where he's going, when you try to do's and don'ts, what Jesus is saying, where you're trying to carve and pave your own way, which is not the right way. Jesus is telling you the right way. You put yourself on a path that leads to destruction. Amen. How sweet is Jesus? There's only one way that seems right to man. And the Bible talks about that. But it ends in destruction. That's in Proverbs 14 and 12. You know, the way seems right. And we may look at it and say, wow, this is the way it should be. This is how, I mean, I've been thinking. I've been reading. This is the way to go. It's not the way to go. Amen. How sweet is Jesus? And Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen. I am the truth. He said, when he says, I am the truth, he means trust in me. Count on what I am saying to you. I'm about to pay for your forgiveness with my blood. Cannot love you more than I do. No one can love you more than I do. And what am I about to do on the cross? Demonstrate my love for you. Demonstrate that I'm the bridge. I'm the bridge to the Father. I am the bridge to the Father. You can't get to the Father except through me. We must understand that. Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the bridge. Amen. Oh, and if we understand this and realize that Jesus is the bridge, we know there's only one way. And that's his way. I know there's a lot of people that might be saying that they might be telling you that they know the truth and this religion is better than that religion and this is that and put one foot before the other and yada yada yada, but we know that it is clear. And Jesus wants you to hear him clearly. He's saying that I am not giving you truth. He said, I'm giving you the only truth. I am the truth. I am the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Can you trust Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? Can you trust him? Can you trust him? I'll break here for a song right quick. And we'll get back and close out with I Am Alive. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Amen, amen. How sweet is Jesus? How we love the name Jesus. The third part of this is Jesus said, I am the life. And there's a kind of life that is only a shadow of what God created it to be. Life without Jesus is like an echo. It is at best a fading reflection of the real thing. Here for a moment, and then gone. But the life Jesus gives is an abundant and eternal life. It outlasts the few years we have here. It easily outshines what this world can offer. It is the very life of God in you. I am not here to point you to this kind of life. I am your life, Jesus is saying. Let me loose in you and watch what happens. How sweet is Jesus? If you allow, if you surrender yourself to him, just let him loose. Just let him loose. Just take the, you know, just like when you take the leash off a dog, he just runs. You see the dog being himself. Let Jesus run loose in you. Take that chain off your heart. Take that chain off your soul and let Jesus run loose in you. Surrender to him. And Jesus, you know, he could have stopped right there. And it would have been enough to pin us to our seat and wonder about how sweet is Jesus. But he doesn't stop there. He ups the ante and gives us more when he adds, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's the bridge. He's your lifeline. You know, you might think you got the lifeline, but he's the lifeline. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he added, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. How sweet is Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? You know, just this evening, and, you know, when you have friends that really, sometimes they bug you in a way, but you know you got Christ in you, so you have to maintain your composure. And some of us find ourselves agreeing with those who think Christianity is too narrow or a bit arrogant or insistent. But it just seems to me that God is great enough to make multiple ways to heaven. I just want to suggest something that I think this is one of the most wonderful reality in the world. Because it's clear to me, very clear to me, that when you're trying to get somewhere, what you need is clarity. The Bible says in all you're getting, get understanding. Nobody is satisfied with vague direction to a location to which you've never been. I mean, here's an example of someone taking a trip to Disney World, and rather than making reservation, he just showed up at the airport, and he see flight listed on the monitor, flight 2020 to Orlando, and the next flight number, it says the gates 21 to 29. And that doesn't make much sense to you, but you head down to the gate anyway, fighting your way to get to the point where you believe your plane is leaving to go to Orlando. Then when you arrive there, you find that none of the gates have signs on it that indicate this flight is going to the destination where you want it to go. And you see planes out the window, and you wondering, you know, when do I board? You know, where is the board? You know, where should I go? But you don't know, because you see all these different way to Florida's. Planes going to Florida. Then you turn to someone, another traveler's, and you ask, which of these flights is going to Orlando? And that individual said, oh, we were just discussing I was just discussing with John that I like looking at the 747. Then you turn around to another person and you went to another gate and said, say, excuse me, ma'am, is this plane going to Orlando? And she said, I don't know, but my lucky number is gate 26. It's 26, so I'm going to gate 26. And this other fellow said, you know what? My son, plays soccer, and his favorite number is 22. So I'm gonna go to gate 22. So he got so frustrated, he went back to the main flight attendant desk, and he said, how do I know which plane is going to Orlando?
And she answered, well, who can really know anything for sure? I figure I got a good chance as anybody else of getting on the plane. Yeah, she said, yeah, you probably do. Then he said that, well, the moral of the story is, there's only one way. You know, if you don't know the way, you will fall for anything that steps in front of you. And you don't want that. So what I'm telling you is, it's the way that Jesus outlined in John, the way to get to heaven. The way to get to heaven. He said, there's only one way. I am the bridge. I am your lifeline. Amen. How sweet is Jesus? And you know that all road goes somewhere. And people are going to give you direction to go somewhere. But it might not be the right way. That's why you have to know the right way. You have to know the word of God and what God is saying. Amen. It's wonderful. It's wonderful because it actually, you know, Jesus' promises actually works. I mean, Jesus delivered. I mean, he can get you where you most want to go. Heaven is forever with God. He can give you what you most wanted. Freedom from sin and real purpose in life. I mean, Jesus spoke of this in the most profound words the world has ever heard. He lived the most remarkable, influential life in human history. He healed the diseases. Amen. Command the forces of nature. How sweet is Jesus. He raised people from the dead. He voluntarily died in the place of sinners like us and was resurrected from the dead. Just as he said, Jesus stands alone in his claim and his act. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. How sweet is Jesus. I mean, we know that untold millions of people who have followed Jesus have testified that he has, in fact, transformed their lives. They have been forgiven, delivered, saved, and changed. How sweet is Jesus? Amen. How sweet is Jesus? I mean, it's wonderful because he is available to anyone, anyone. Anyone can believe this. And the Bible says it like this. And like I stated earlier, Brother Dave mentioned it in one of his Tuesday broadcasts about the seven love, but and out of all those love, the agape love, the unconditional love that Jesus had for us is what we're talking about. Is what we're talking about. Amen. How sweet is Jesus? How sweet is Jesus? Well, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, we know that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, we know that he will be saved. So I'm asking you to just say to yourself, say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Now, amen. Help me to live for you the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, if you just say those words, just declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Amen. We know that salvation by grace through faith, there's nothing you did or ever can do to deserve it. Salvation is a free gift from God. All you have to do is receive. So please tell someone about your decision. It's important that you tell someone to make a public, secure, and firm proclamation about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Find someone. You know, talk to God every day. You don't have to use big fancy words. There are no right or wrong words. Just be yourself. Thank the Lord daily for your salvation. Pray for others in need. Seek his direction. Pray for the Lord. Fill you, that he fill you with love and joy daily with the Holy Spirit. There is no limit to his prayer. You can pray constantly. You can pray with your eyes closed or open, while sitting or standing, kneeling or lying, or in your bed, anywhere. Just pray, amen, amen, amen. In conclusion, I will say that our Father is an awesome God. I'm going to say, Heavenly Father, I want you to touch us now with your healing hands. And give us the comfort and peace we need to get through. I know that it is your will for us to be. Amen. Amen. Well in mind, body, soul, and spirit. Please cover us. Cover the listening audience. Cover the family. Cover the people that succumbed to COVID-19. Cover the survivors of COVID-19. Cover the families of COVID-19. Lord, just cover us with your most precious blood of your Son, our Lord and Jesus Christ, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Cast out anything that is physically, mentally, emotionally, that's unhealthy, that's inside of us. Cleanse us, dear Lord, of all things that currently separate us from living out our full potential that you have installed in us. Amen. We want to just thank you, Father. Thank you for everything you have done. Please bless each and every one that's on the line. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to thank everyone for being on the line. And stay tuned for tomorrow. We have a Minister Sophia. And we have something every day of the week. From Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And I want everyone to listen to Brother Dave on Tuesday. Pastor Prophetess Teresa Dox on Wednesday. And you know this is your choice on Thursday, right here, Elder Dox. Friday will be Sophia Parks. And Saturday might be Elder Peoples, I'm not for sure. But we want to thank you and bless you for being on the line. And may God cover you, care for you, oh, bless you considerably, keep his arms around you, and keep his angel encamped about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed day. Mm-hmm.
Strong tower makes me say.